Rast is a fun character. He is interesting to play. I get to do a lot of different things with him, and it's a nice stress relieving adventure every time I read one of these scripts.
The following program is rated U for universal audiences and is considered suitable for listeners of all ages.
This is a presentation of Dream Realm Enterprises, where dreams are our reality.
Okay, welcome back to the Magical Worlds podcast. This is number 5, and today we're going to be talking with Victor Aurelius, a great guy in audio and a great guy, period, and a good friend of mine. And he's been in Robots of the Company, of course, Prentice and Crusher. And he's in Magic Monsters of Mayhem. He played Rast in Book 1, and he will continue to do so for Book 2 and 3, and for the foreseeable future. And it is a pleasure to have him with us today. We'll be talking with him a little bit later in the interview that he pre-recorded for us very kindly. Victor's one of the good guys in audio, and he's been a great supporter of Dream Realm Enterprises over the years, and we've collaborated on one or two projects, and I've been in a few of his projects because he does stuff for All Better Audio, or as it's also known, the 4077th. He and Jeff Niles produce shows under those headings, and some great stuff they do produce too. And of course, Vic and I collaborated on the Sultry Dalek, if anyone remembers that or has ever heard that. If you haven't, it's out on YouTube as well as on our own website, dreamrealmsite.com. You can check those out. Just sort of a comic character is the Sultry Dalek. It's a fan kind of thing. So just for fun, and Vic plays the Sultry Dalek, and he plays it wonderfully. I think we did 5 episodes in that series. I don't know if we'll ever do any more. It would be nice. Certainly the door is open on that. But, if we ever find time or the inclination to do it, I'm sure we will do more of the Sultry Dalek someday, perhaps. But in the meantime, you can listen to the ones that we did. I wrote a few of them, and Vic wrote at least one of them. It was a fun little show that we did. They were basically little skits. I don't think they ever lasted more than 10 or 15 minutes tops. But it was fun to do, and it's fun to listen to. So check that out. Of course, we're talking about Magic Monsters and Mayhem, and that's what this show is really for and about. At least that, and any other fantasy type shows that we might do, I'd probably cover with this podcast. But at the moment, of course, it is Magic Monsters and Mayhem, and that's what we're talking about. Book 2 has finally premiered. You by now have gotten the first 2 episodes, the first 2 chapters of Book 2. So if you haven't heard those, you really should. Otherwise, why are you listening to this? But if you don't know much about the story of Book 2, if you haven't really heard the first 2 episodes or listened to our beginner's guide, which I would suggest for people to do, because if you don't know much about Magic Monsters and Mayhem, or if you've only listened to Book 1, it doesn't hurt to listen to that, because I kind of get you caught up on who everybody is and what the world is and what the concept is and so on, and what Book 2 essentially is about. But to give you a very basic rundown of the story, Lillian Fairheart, of course, is kind of the main character of the story. Her father disappeared under very mysterious circumstances when she was quite young. Apparently, her mother passed away when she was even younger, so she more or less was orphaned. when her father disappeared under very mysterious circumstances. And that's really, you know, her father was kind of her world. That's all she knew. You know, that was the parent she had. And she's got a couple of uncles and, you know, whatever here and there, other distant family members that she hasn't really had too much interaction with. Her uncle Waldo, as we all know from Magic Monsters of Mayhem Book 1, who is this bumbling mage, and an elderly bumbling mage at that, hasn't been around for years because he's been off adventuring and what have you, doing his own thing. So he wasn't around to help raise Lily and never took that responsibility on. Obviously cares about his niece and everything, but you know, there's a whole backstory that I'm not going to get into as to why Waldo left his hometown and chose not to return until now, until he's called back. But so he wasn't there. Lily was kind of, I guess, raised with neighbors and friends and what have you, and didn't really have anybody around after her father disappeared. And through that entire time, she's, you know, wanted to find out what happened to her father and missed her father and sort of come to idolize the memory of her father. So she has set off on this quest after hearing some whispers around the school there, the Academy of Mages, which she attended. She heard some whispers about the history of that and things, you know, about her father, and that really sets her off trying to find, you know, clues and information about that. And then she gets a good clue, some good information about all that, and it sets her off on this journey to find out exactly what did happen with her father, because she suspects foul play. Lily's father had been accused of dabbling in the dark arts, the dark magic, using dark magic to summon what they call the night folk or the dark folk. And the dark folk, basically, it's kind of like another dimension, a dark dimension, sort of like hell, I guess, in this world. But it's supposed to be this hellish reality where these evil witches and demons and so forth, whatever you want to call them, these dark entities, beings, exist that they have dark knowledge. And, you know, sometimes people seek their knowledge out because they know things about the world of Magic Monsters and Mayhem that, you know, other people might not know. They know certain secrets. They have certain knowledge. So sometimes they're sought out for that knowledge and power and so forth. But it's usually, you know, people who aren't on the up and up that seek them out. But Lily's father had been accused of doing that. That was part of the, I guess you could say, the cover-up, if you will. I don't want to give too much away because we're long from learning exactly what happened in the series. That will develop, and, you know, over time, but it's going to be a very slow developing story and investigation into what exactly did happen. So it's not all cut and dried, and it doesn't, you know, get resolved anytime soon. So I can tell you that right now. It's going to be kind of the hook for the story for a long time, is to find out ultimately what happened to Lily's father. Certainly that's her goal. And so she kind of takes that and decides to actually do it. You know, whether her father did or not is still in question, but she decides, I'm going to do this. I'm going to seek out the dark folk and see if they can tell me anything about what happened to my father. Maybe they have that knowledge. So she is kind of given a deal by a dark being, a fire wraith named Detlor, who claims he knows exactly what happened, but of course there's a price to this. You know, he's a bad guy, so he wants her to collect this artifact called the Wand of Taldek, which is a very powerful artifact, which will give him power in our world, or in the Magic Monsters and Mayhem world. So he makes this deal with Lily, and that sets her off on her journey, because she's got to kind of fulfill her part of the bargain to get the information she wants. So off she goes to fulfill that. And it's a very dangerous path that she finds herself on. And, she's joined by one or two friends. Her friend Divine and her friend Grapple. So friends of hers from around the town. Grapple actually is one of the custodians or janitors or whatever you want, an assistant to the custodian of the Council of Mages or the Academy of Mages. And so he kind of befriends her there at the school, and she's known Divine most of her life. And so those two decide to help Lily on her journey, even though they don't necessarily agree with her methods, but they agree to help her on her journey. So that's the gist of the story arc, of the main story arc. But there are other story arcs within the series. There are going to be a number of character arcs. We're going to get to know a little bit more about our main characters, like Rosa and her background and what her family situation is. And obviously, we're getting to know a little bit about Waldo's history. At some point, you know, we'll look into the histories of like Greybeard and Brett Gawain and so on. So they all have kind of their story arcs, and through the course of this series now, we're going to get to explore those. And there are new characters that come in as well, and a lot of other backstories and background stories. And my idea for this series kind of is, it's sort of centered around the town of Terse, which is Waldo's hometown and Lily's hometown. And so everything kind of happens around that area, at least. And my ultimate goal is, as this series goes on, we're going to meet more and more of the people that populate Terse, and they're kind of going to be the story. They're going to be the series. It's you know, you're going to get to know all these different characters and get interested in their lives and so forth. So it's kind of all that. And, you know, it's about the adventure, of course. The story comes first, but the characters are just as important, because it's as much a character study as it is, you know, an action adventure fantasy story. So it's a big saga, basically, with a number of different characters. You know, it's a big cast, and it's an ensemble, and you know, I can't say that there's one star above the other as far as that's concerned. You know, Lily kind of is driving the whole thing at this point, because it's the main story arc is hers, but by no means is she, you know, the only major character. You know, there are a number of major characters, there are supporting characters and so on, but everybody's important, if you know what I mean. Even down to the smallest, most insignificant character, they have something, they have some important part to play, in other words. So you're going to get to know some interesting characters along the way. So that's the fun thing about this show. I've always wanted to do this type of fantasy series where I could kind of do a study, a character study, and as well as have a major story arc or two to tell. There are other elements, of course, that will make up other story arcs, even after we finally solve Lily's main arc, there will be other things going on. There's also sort of a hint of war in the background somewhere there. That we know there's wars going on and being raged across their world. It's all distant at this point, but it's going to very much come into play. Not that it's going to become, you know, a war story. No, don't get me wrong. It's really not. But of course, just the threat of it is always there, and there's just, it's like a dark shadow that is in the distance, you know, a dark cloud that's in the distance that they know it's a storm that's brewing, and it's going to affect Terse at some point. Even if Terse isn't necessarily caught in the middle of the war itself, it may or may not be, but it will be affected by it, and we will see the effects of it as the series goes on, because of this emperor, this guy that's in control of the air, you know, the land, the continent, whatever that they're on, the that segment of the world. Because in book one, of course, we were in this kingdom or realm or whatever you want to call it of Baronhurst, where, you know, Lord Terrible was the emperor. He was the leader, inept and corrupt and, you know, not to be taken awfully seriously, because even though he had evil intentions, he was kind of bumbling at it and wasn't a major threat to anybody, really. But, you know, that was played for laughs. So, but this is a totally different part of the of their world. So in this part of the world, Emperor Leighton, who is a serious bad guy. I mean, he really, his thing is he's a warmonger and he wants power and, you know, he has his own agenda, and we'll learn more and more about that as we go. We will eventually get to know Emperor Leighton, though it definitely won't be until book three. So you're not even going to have to deal with that this year, but you will certainly hear the name and you'll know that, you know, that's the guy in charge, but you'll get to know more about all that later. So it is an ongoing saga, you see, and there are, you know, certain layers to the whole thing, and, you know, it'll all be revealed in its own time, and it's not, you know, it's going to be kind of a slow burn, if you will. We're playing the long game with this series. It's not going to be the lighthearted adventure a week kind of thing that we started with in book one. It's very much, you know, there's a lot of different adventures and there are a lot of different storylines and story arcs and backstories and, you know, so on. But it all kind of leads into one thing, you know, it's just kind of like life, you know, everything is kind of interconnected in some way. And the things that go on in the world are, you know, they do affect every person in some way. You know, the bigger things affect even the smallest people, even if in small ways. So it's kind of like that. We're just kind of telling that kind of story and exploring that kind of series where it's just these characters that are trying to go on, you know, trying to get on with their normal lives, but these extraordinary things are happening all around them. And some of them get caught up on them and some of them don't. Some of them are oblivious to it, and, you know, others get right in the thick of things, you know, like our characters, of course, our heroes, Rosa, Gawain, Greybeard, etc., and Lily, of course, now, they all get, you know, they're all getting very much involved in all these crazy things that are going on, whereas there are other characters that don't necessarily get it or want to involve themselves in the bigger things. So they're just living their lives. So I think that will be the interesting thing about the series, is getting to see these different levels and these different characters at those different levels and what their lives are and what kind of people they are and the things that they get into. And it's not always about, you know, it's not always about the big things. Sometimes it's about the little things. And you're just going to see all these different kinds of stories being told within the framework of the main story arc or two that we're doing. So hopefully that'll catch people's interest. And that's what I'm wanting, is just for people, you know, it doesn't have to be a gigantic audience, but, you know, as nice as that would be, and I would certainly welcome it, if we have a loyal following, you know, of a few dozen people, I'm just as happy as with a few thousand people. So, you know, we're just trying to tell something that hopefully grabs some people's attention and gets them kind of hooked on it and enjoying it. I don't know, hooked on it probably isn't the best way to put it, but, you know, just something that you're going to enjoy and you'll want to continue to follow, like a book. And that's kind of what we're doing, is we're telling a story kind of like a book or like a series of books. And that's, you know, that's the gist of it. So hopefully that makes sense. And hopefully you guys get it. And hopefully you guys enjoy it. Give it a chance. You know, it's going to be a, you know, it's slowly developing thing. I know in today's sort of market, people want, they want that instant gratification. They want to love it from moment one or else they give up on it. But hopefully you guys are not that type of audience. Hopefully you're the more thoughtful type of audience that I believe you are, that will stick with something and give it a chance to develop because that's the best stories are those kind of stories, in my opinion, that they might start a little slow, but, you know, you're collecting that information as you go and falling more and more in love with the characters and the settings as you go along. And I'm hoping that's what happens with this series for the audience, is that it'll be something they'll kind of get used to listening to and then really fall in love with the characters and want to know what these guys are. You know, they'll be like friends, basically, because you're going to get a little dose of it every week for months now. The way that we've ended up deciding to do it is giving you a little chunk every week, a little chapter. And it's just like you've just sat down on the, you know, one day when you're not so busy and you just read a chapter out of a, you know, a book that you're reading, and you just get that little chunk every 7 days. And that's the goal here. So it's going to play for the rest of the year, and you're going to get those little 20 or so minute chunks every week. And a little bit more of the story, you know, a little bit, another piece of the puzzle as you go. So, and get to follow these characters, and they'll be a part of your weekly life. So hopefully you guys will come on the journey with us, because it's a lot of fun. And you can ask anybody who's in it, and they'll tell you how much fun it's been to do this. And it's in a world that, you know, it's a fantasy world, so it's very much escapism. There are tinges of, you know, reality. I mean, there are things that you can recognize, but not to the point where you go, oh, I've seen this in real life. I don't want to, you know, it's not like that. So it will very much be an escape from everyday life. So, yeah, come with us on the journey, and I hope you enjoy it. But before we go too far, of course, I want to talk to Victor Aurelius, who plays Rast. He's with us and was kind enough actually to record his interview for us, and we want to get to that and hear what he has to say about this show and about his character. And you'll see the love, because Vic really loves this kind of storytelling, and he's enjoying playing Rast, and we're so happy to have him involved in the show. So here's a clip from the show with Rast, and then interview with Victor Aurelius.
Oh my, thank you. You saved my life.
Don't mention it.
No. I have to mention it. I'm ever so grateful, you see. Hey, I know you guys.
Yes, Rast, and we know you.
Yes, you worked for that layabout, Lord Terrible.
Well, I did. Yes.
But not any longer?
Well, you see, Lord Terrible had to make some cutbacks, and, well, the long and the short of it was, I was downsized. Oh, I was let go. Oh, can you believe that? Oh, it's so embarrassing.
You mean he sacked you?
No. Oh, yes, I am. I am no longer gainfully employed. And to think, I gave that man the best years of my life. Typical, eh?
Oh, for heaven's sake, pull yourself together, man.
Okay, we are talking with Victor Aurelius today, who plays Rast. And you guys will know him better, perhaps, as Prentice and Crusher on Robots of the Company. Rast actually is very much sort of the brother of Prentice, if you will, in a way, because one sort of inspired the other. And I really don't even, I think Prentice came first, but and if that's the case, then Prentice very much influenced the creation of Rast, because I just loved that character and the way Vic did it. And I kind of just wanted that same sort of dynamic when I came to do book one of Magic Monsters and Mayhem. So of course I asked Vic if he could do a character in MMM, And if he could do it somewhat similar to Prentice, although they are different characters, yes. But the similarities are quite obvious if you listen to them side by side. But at any rate, we're very happy to have you with us today, Victor, and talking with us about Rast.
Okay, John.
So tell us a little bit about who Rast is.
Rast is a servant of Lord Terrible. He was always told what to do, cleaning the cages where the monsters were, feeding the monsters, taking care of the castle, taking care of Lord Terrible. Basically, he was his manservant, and he was also his friend. They would chat with each other, but Lord Terrible was the leader, and Rast is the follower. And as a follower, he's happy doing that. He just likes to serve and to make whoever he works for happy. And in that, he gets his own happiness, I suppose.
What's it been like to play this character for the past couple of years?
Well, as I said, Rast is a fun character. I enjoy playing him. It's a big deal for me to be involved in a medieval sort of Dungeons and Dragons kind of setting, which is something that's been part of my life since the early 1980s. I've been playing Dungeons and Dragons for a long, long time, played tons and tons of characters, and I currently run a D&D game now where I put in a couple things from this series into my my storyline. Litmia is mentioned. The people in my storyline just received a castle, a small keep, which was named Litmia Keep. So that's just a nod to the series here. And also the character of Waldo is the wizard inside that keep. So the characters pop in and back and forth through a portable hole, back and forth to the castle, and speak with Waldo, and he reads scrolls for them and creates magical spells and identifies things that they find. So this series is fun. It's something, like I said, it's been a big part of my life, and it's currently being a part in a story that I'm creating for my group of Dungeons and Dragons players. But Rast is a fun character. He is interesting to play. I get to do a lot of different things with him, and it's a nice stress relieving adventure every time I read one of these scripts. Season one was fun, but season two is even more fun. I think the audience will really enjoy where Rast goes in this new series.
At the start of book two, what is Rast's place in the world as he sees it?
Well, the beginning of season two, we find Rast has been fired by Lord Terrible. There was a downsizing in the castle. Rast was one of those things that had to go. And honestly, it kind of struck me as weird to read that, because I don't think Lord Terrible actually paid Rast to do anything. So there might be a reason why he got rid of him. Maybe he just got annoyed with him or something. But Rast right now is kind of lost. He doesn't know what to do. He is normally a servant. He doesn't have somebody to serve, somebody to work under. And so he just kind of is doing little odds and ends. I don't want to give it away. He just does anything he can for a couple of coins, tricks and you know, that sort of thing. Whatever he can get. And he's not very good at it. So,
Without giving too much away, where is Rast heading in this series?
Well, as I said, Rast is kind of trying to find himself now. He has never been his own person. He's always just been the servant to someone. I'm assuming even before Lord Terrible, he was probably the youngest of a family that they all made him do every chore in the house. So he's always done this his entire life. So right now he is out in the big wide world. There's adventure, excitement out there, and he just doesn't know really what to do. He's kind of looking at flowers and trees and things now because he's always been stuck in these dark, damp castles, and seeing what the world holds and what the world offers, to someone like him. And he's, excited. He's interested in everything. He's interested in meeting new people, talking with them, learning new things. And, he is willing to do just about anything, to join a group or join a family, like he was with Lord Terrible. So he's just looking to, join, and to be with other people.
What do you think Rast would like to see for his future? And where do you think he'll end up in his life ultimately?
Well, I picture Rast maybe years from now, finding someone, falling in love and settling down. I don't know if that's in the storyline at some point in maybe book 3 or 4 or something. Let's hope that the series keeps going and going and we can find out. But I picture Rast as finding someone to control him. I picture him settling down, getting married, and his wife will be the person in charge. He will be the house husband. And, she will, have him do everything for her, and he will absolutely love it. This is his life. This is what he does, and this is what he enjoys. And so, to me, that's how I picture his future. Growing old, settling down, probably having a couple little kids, but I picture the children probably telling daddy what to do as well. And you know what? Rast will enjoy it. This is his life.
All right. We very much appreciate Victor Aurelius speaking with us today. It's been a blast. Okay. Well, we're going to wrap this up now. And I thank you guys for listening to us. The first 2 chapters of book 2 are out there. So go grab them. Listen to them if you want. And hopefully you'll stick with us and you'll get chapter 3 in a few days, and the story just develops and the characters develop and you get new characters along the way, and we're going to be introducing new characters throughout this whole season of shows, book 2. So hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you've enjoyed hearing this and our interview with Vic Aurelius. He was a great guy to listen to. He's a great guy to have in a production. Love working with Victor Aurelius. He's a good guy. And I love our entire cast. We've got a really good cast, and they're really talented people who are giving their all to something that we all believe in. And we're just having a lot of fun doing it. And hopefully you guys have fun listening to it. And hopefully you've enjoyed listening to this. So keep with us, stick with us, stick with the story. And as they say, in the world of magic, monsters, and mayhem, stay on the path.
This program is copyright 2018, all rights reserved, and is brought to you by Dream Realm Enterprises. The journey continues.